It is just past 8:08 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. My name is Brian Edwards Tiegert, and the tickets to Marlon James are gone, folks. Sorry about that, but we need to free up some phone lines to get our next guests on, which we were a couple minutes away from doing. If you are psyched about that book and joining a conversation about it and getting discounted tickets, you can join our book club. Just search for Upfront Book Club on Google. That'll take you to a page that takes you to the forum to join. Or look for Upfront Book Club on Facebook. That is where the conversation happens. Gavin Newsom delivered his first State of the State yesterday. And the main news that he broke, he wants California to walk back the plan to build two tunnels to move water across the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta and build just one tunnel instead. There are also other points of confusion about whether or not he announced he is killing high-speed rail. We're going to talk about those in a moment. We'll start our coverage with Barbara Berrigan-Perea. She's executive director of Restore the Delta. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, good morning.
I want to start with what Gavin Newsom actually said about that tunnel project. It is called the California Water Fix in wonk parlance. Kirsten, let's tee up cut number 4 from the State of the State. Here is Gavin Newsom speaking yesterday.
Let me be as direct about where I stand as I can be. I do not support the water fix as currently configured, meaning I do not support the twin tunnels. We can, however, build on the important work that's already been done. And that's why I do support a single tunnel.
So first off, what is new here? What's the news?
Well, I believe, and we're very, very happy this morning, that we have achieved a major objective in the fight for the protection for the Delta. Our work isn't done yet, but we're on the right road. Governor Newsom listened to us. The Twin Tunnels project, he has said, is gone. It's done. And that means a lot of processes would have to be restarted and redone in order for the advancement of a single tunnel. We, in our testimony...
Meaning like they'd be back to environmental review...
Oh, yeah, there's significant review. In 2015, when the processes before the state board began for the petition, the change petition to grant the right to build the project, it was for a twin tunnel project. That's all going to have to be amended. The DWR has a lawsuit out called a validation lawsuit to go ahead and allow its bonding authority to move forward with the project. That's going to have to be redone. And so will the 17 related CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, actions that are coordinated through that suit. There's going to have to be a considerable amount of work redone. And while the current California Water Fix Plan contains an analysis for a 6,000 CFS tunnel, it's not clear that that's what the governor was advocating as a compromise. And because it was not the preferred alternative, it's definitely lacking in modeling, in description, in engineering, in full analysis. So this really hits the reset button. And here's the second part. When you hit the reset button, the economics change. MWD accountants figured out before that a single tunnel wasn't going to get them what they wanted for the expense.
This is the Metropolitan Water District, the water supplier for the Los Angeles area, the big money in this project.
Correct. So that's why a year ago they walked away from a single tunnel project and they went for the two tunnel project. So there's a lot of hope here today.
It sounds like the hope for you is of killing the project entirely, or do you feel like some kind of system for moving water across the Delta could be better than the status quo, which is these giant pumps that kill lots of fish?
Here's what we think. We told the State Water Resources Control Board under oath when we were giving testimony that we were against the two-tunnel project, and we said that we would have to reanalyze a new project. So we will. We will reanalyze what is put forward in good faith with the same critical eye that we used on the current project. But there's opportunity here. New conveyance, a single tunnel. What would happen if that new conveyance was really an emphasis on rebuilding the existing pumps? Because when you go to the single tunnel plan, you up the amount of time you have to use the pumps at the south end of the Delta. They have to be rebuilt. So we definitely believe there are solutions that need to be put forward for the Delta. Things can't stay the way they are, especially with the federal rollbacks looming before us and the gutting of endangered species protections as proposed by President Trump and the nominee for Interior, David Bernhardt. What we have to do is we have to come up and get our solutions out there, which really have to do with how we operate the Delta Cross Channel Gate and really rebuilding those pumps, which are going to be in use for good, even with a new single tunnel plan, to make them fish friendly and climate change resilient.
Barbara Berrigan-Perea, but before I let you go, I think we kind of started the conversation without doing the most important background. What was your problem in the first place with the two-tunnel version of the Delta water fix? The line coming out of the governor's office, out of Jerry Brown's office, was this is going to be good for the environment. It's going to move water from north to south in a way that is less ecologically disruptive than the pumps you just referenced.
The two-tunnel project is really about building a very large facility to broker and foster water transfers from North Coast rivers to the southern part of the state. When you dig into the details, the number 56 severe impacts on Delta communities on water quality, and the bottom line is when you get into the details of that 80,000-page document that they published, fish did worse with water fix. Smelt, salmon, they all did worse than if we left the Delta alone right now. And we're not suggesting the Delta should be left alone. So we need solutions that are actually going to do better. California water fix as proposed was loaded with propaganda and half-baked science and incomplete analysis.
All right. Barbara Berrigan-Perea, appreciate you joining us so early in the morning.
Thank you so much.
Barbara Berrigan-Perea is the executive director of Restore the Delta. And again, the biggest piece of breaking news out of Governor Gavin Newsom's State of the State yesterday is that he is killing the two-tunnel water fix. Water fix is the parlance of Sacramento. It's a massive infrastructure project to build massive pipes, moving water from north to south across the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. To go through some of the other points in Gavin Newsom's speech, we're joined now on the line by John Howard. He is the editor of Capital Weekly. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what was your overall take? New governor? New speech? What's different?
I was sort of amazed. There's quite a bit different. Usually these state of the state addresses are sort of filled with hyperbole and bombast and positive vibes and good talk, that kind of thing. Very little specifics, but this one really did make news. The throttling down on the high-speed rail program project to only Merced to Bakersfield, about 110 miles, is really something. That's a huge, huge decision. The water project that you folks are just talking about earlier, the twin tunnels, I think, I don't know if Barbara would agree, but I think the going to one tunnel effectively kills the project.
That seemed to be her analysis at the beginning. It would restart the environmental review. It would require new authorizations from several layers of bureaucracy.
Exactly. Even when the bureaucracy is running like a well-oiled machine, you're looking at years down the road. But in this case, there's so much. It's so complex. There's so much involved. Funding is always an issue. The environmental concerns, obviously, are always an issue. The idea of getting more water or getting even the same amount of water from the north to the south without disturbing the fragile ecosystem of the Delta is a worthy one. I personally like the idea of the peripheral canal. That went down in flames in 1982. That was another Jerry Brown proposal that he liked. I thought he made a good case for it. So did Jerry Merrill at the time. The same thing is going on here in terms of opposition Northerners, I think, just don't want their water headed south, and people in or near the Delta, really, it's a property owner issue versus a water issue. At least that's how I see it, and I'm no water expert.
Well, their concern is so much water gets sucked out of the Sacramento River that saline water from the bay pushes up to parts of the Delta that previously were freshwater or intermingled, completely changes the ecological regime and could poison the aquifers that they tap for irrigation.
Well, I know they say more water would come out of the Sacramento River, and that way it may well be true, but water also right now comes out of the Sacramento River and goes into the Delta, as does water from other rivers. It seems to me environmentally that it makes sense to get water to the south without hurting the environment of the Delta. That's the proposal, one of the key points of the Twin Tunnels. Whether it really does that or not, of course, is the big debate. But I would argue that the biggest news, from my perspective, out of the state of the state was high-speed rail, then the water, and then not a lot of attention was diverted to it, but the idea of exempting CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, rules as they pertain to housing developments is huge.
He said expediting, not exempting. And I do want to get into the housing part of it, but let's start with the high-speed rail, because there was a lot of confusion about this after the speech. Initial headlines said, Gavin Newsom had dramatically scaled back high-speed rail. There were some Twitter-based corrections coming out of his office afterwards, starting with something at 2:15 in the afternoon yesterday from the account of Gavin Newsom, quote, "We're going to make high-speed rail a reality for California. We have the capacity to complete the rail between Merced and Bakersfield. We'll continue our regional projects north and south, finish phase one environmental work, connect the Central Valley to the other parts of the state." The state was already planning to connect up the Central Valley before it did anything to connect it to the coast. It hadn't allocated money to building those connections to the coast. What's actually different here?
Yeah, that's correct. The principal proposal is to connect the valley through the valley, Sacramento to Southern California, and then the Bay Area to the Central Valley line, so people could go from the Bay Area via high-speed rail to the Central Valley. One argument there was people living in Modesto, for example, could perhaps get high-speed rail and get to the Bay Area much quicker, get people off the road, using less fossil fuels, that kind of thing. That was the plan. In his speech, he talked about not doing that. And he said he really said he did not like high-speed rail. At least that was my takeaway on it.
We've got tape of what he said. Let's, Kirsten, let's tee up Newsom clip two.
Sure, yeah.
Right now, there simply isn't a path to get from Sacramento to San Diego, let alone from San Francisco to L.A. I wish there were. However, we do have the capacity to complete a high-speed rail link between Merced and Bakersfield.
So he said we don't have the capacity, but this was true before he gave the speech. There was a notion, but not like allocated dollars or detailed engineering plans for running the train line, over the Pacheco Pass to San Jose, connecting it up to San Francisco. But when he says they're going to continue later in the speech, they're going to continue doing phase one environmental work, doesn't that mean they're still doing all the things the state was doing before to advance that and get it on the board eventually?
Well, I heard him. I heard it a bit differently. And when he says we have the capacity, that doesn't mean we're going to utilize it. I think he has a political problem in the high-speed rail, in the project as a whole. I think many Californians want it. But I think he has a problem in delivering on it, especially with the funding. And that has been true since the beginning. It is true that we got federal dollars basically because of the Obama administration. And we had some matching money here. There's been a longstanding discussion about public-private partnership, private investment. And that all sounds good. But the bottom line is, I think he sees the funding stream as not being a sure thing. And it might never have been, but it's not a sure thing. And I think politically, I think he's made the calculation that it's much easier to not have a vision for projects that are real difficult, and then you can't do them and you have to back off them, than it is to tear down or stop or delay an existing project. And I think that's kind of what's going on here with the Twin Tunnel project. I definitely think it's going on here with the high-speed rail project. It certainly is true that if there's an administration change that favors this at the federal level, and dollars, federal dollars flow in a way that's assured, and there's a definite revenue stream, that could certainly change. I'm not sure where the public is on high-speed rail. There's been so much conflicting news coverage of it, but I think that overall, the people I talk to up here think high-speed rail, if it's doable, is a great idea. And Japan did it in 1964, and China's done it for years. Why can't we do it here? And that's where you get into the political calculation.
Yeah. I mean, what I gather from speaking to rail people is one of the political calculations is once you have even a very limited line running in the Central Valley and people can look at it and see that it's not just an idea, it's a piece of infrastructure that works, it kind of builds its own political case for extending the line one stop at a time to increase the service.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if this is similar to BART. BART was approved, I think, authorized in 62, built, finalized, I think, in 73 or 74. Took years to do it, but it seemed like such a revolutionary idea at the time, and it quickly became part of the Bay Area landscape, and people quickly accepted it. And I think over time, and generally, despite its problems, there have been many, but still, it's something people utilize to get to work and get home and to get out of their cars. I think at the end of the day, if the high-speed rail project actually can be built, I think that's saying it's going to be a piece of the California landscape we'll all accept. It won't be any big deal.
John Howard, you mentioned Governor Newsom's proclamations on housing. Let's take a quick listen to how he started that section of the speech.
It's too much demand, too little supply. And that is happening in large part because too many cities and counties aren't even planning how to build.
So as you mentioned, Newsom talked about expediting environmental review for new housing. That was the language he used, expediting. He asked go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to finish recapping. He asked the legislature to send him, quote, a good package on rent stability. He had not taken a position on Proposition 10, which would have rolled back state-level preemption of local rent control.
That's a good point.
He said he would start talks with 47 cities that the state could sue over restricting housing construction through local zoning, as the state has done in Huntington Beach. Nothing he said that I heard, maybe you heard differently, specifically addressed allocating more money to building subsidized and affordable housing.
His language in the State of the State was CEQA shouldn't be, I'm paraphrasing here, CEQA, he specifically mentioned CEQA, shouldn't be only for sports stadiums. It should be for housing. And that was actually one of the big hits on Brown from environmentalists. On I think two stadiums, I know at least one in Southern California that received exemptions from CEQA and were in fact quickly approved. And Gavin made the point of distancing himself from that philosophy and said, and they can be applied to housing as well, building new housing as well. And he actually got a strong round of applause for that. And I interpret that as part of his background as a mayor. Brown was a mayor of Oakland, Newsom was a mayor of San Francisco, and as mayors, you want to do things that you think will benefit your community, and there are lots of roadblocks, and one of them for housing construction in the past, for any construction in the past, has been having to resolve issues with CEQA. So I think when Brown said just a couple years ago, you know, he said he'd never met a CEQA exemption he didn't like, I think Gavin, without saying that, is actually, in fact, going to be doing that. There are going to be housing exemptions from CEQA. It may well be development by development case. It may well be legislation to build more housing near, you know, transit hubs, for example. But whatever it is, I think he's going to lend a very sympathetic ear to that. And like my take on his comments were that he would be more inclined to sign legislation on that than others have been in the past. That would be my take on it.
CEQA, for our listeners' benefit, the California Environmental Quality Act, pioneering piece of legislation, also creates a lot of opportunities for citizen groups to slow down the approval process of any big project and to litigate it nearly into oblivion. Also, the threat of CEQA lawsuits often begins a lot of negotiations that result in project labor agreements or community benefits packages. It's how cities squeeze a lot of public goods out of big developments that they wouldn't get otherwise.
Absolutely true. CEQA can be a lever not only for environmentalists, but for a lot of other parameters and specific projects. CEQA is painted very negatively by the building community, who are always looking to expedite, that's the term of art, expedite or streamline approvals and permits and fees, lowering. There are always people who build who want those things without having to go through, meet these hurdles. And it's absolutely true. And one of the advantages of CEQA is even when it's not ultimately settled one way or the other in court, and we are talking about lawsuits, the road there often forces compromise between various parties, and that's half a loaf is better than none. So I would argue over time in California, CEQA has been quite good, and others would argue no, but as I've seen it, it plays a role in getting the public involved and others, but getting the public, the larger public involved in project approvals. And I think that's a good thing.
Finally, John Howard, because we're almost out of time, you talked about his willingness to sign CEQA reform. How much appetite do you think there is for it in the heavily, heavily democratically controlled legislature?
Boy, that's a great question. And I don't know. I truly don't know. I think in the Central Valley, I think in interior California Democrats, I think would not have much of a problem with that. The so-called business-friendly, moderate Democrats, I think, would not have a problem with that. Again, depending on the projects and on merits basis. The coastal environmental community, the coastal Democrats, I think, would have much more of a problem with that. Again, depending on the projects. Coastal projects are very can be very, very sensitive. Housing as well as commercial projects. And when you start getting the Coastal Commission involved, then that sort of raises the level exponentially of interest in the project, draws a lot of attention. I just don't know how all that would play out, but road as one might think, just because we have majority, supermajority Democrats in both houses.
All right, John Howard, appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.